Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson, welcome to Going In Raw Countdown, the only top 10 countdown type show. Right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson and available wherever fine podcasts are found, including CastBox. Got a great partnership with CastBox.
Yes, we do.
Check it out. We're also at Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. You know, Patreon is like, you know, you give us money, we send you stuff. That's simple.
Yes, it is. Or you give us money, you get to watch extra stuff.
Well, that's... in a sense, giving you stuff.
Yeah, sending it digitally, electronically, in the ether.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
We're also at Pro Wrestling Tees. You know, it's the same model, basically. You send them money, they'll give you stuff. But it's our shirts.
But it's our shirts, right.
And there's a sale going on right now. You buy 5 shirts, you get 25% off your entire order.
Yeah, wow. Huge.
Bargain.
You sound very enthusiastic.
Oh, really?
We're going to talk about how to make Impact better today, Larson.
There goes my enthusiasm.
Make Impact. Make Impact great again.
Don't mind me. I'm going to take a nap.
That's what we got to do. Oh, man. That's okay. I'll take over. So, yeah, recently, one of my favorite UK wrestlers, Joe Hendry, it was announced he's being signed to Impact Wrestling. And I was very excited about that. I might do Impact reviews again. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I'm not committing right now. It's only Tuesday. I've got another couple days before I have to commit to this week if I decide to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's going to be like on a per appearance basis.
There you go.
I might just do
it. You'll
adopt
the Impact model.
Right, exactly. So anyways, we did 2 videos today. One details 10 moves that I feel Impact has done correctly to try to dig their toxic name out of that toxic dump of a hole that various regimes have put them in over the past couple decades.
These are the 10 things they pretty much need to do to improve the chances that I'll watch their programming.
Exactly, yeah. So if they do all 10 of these, it won't guarantee that Larson's going to
watch. No, but it'll improve the chances.
Getting closer and closer. Let me ask you, what is one thing, because I did these lists, you tell me what is one thing that will guarantee, if you knew that was going to happen this Thursday on Impact, what's one thing?
Well, I know one thing that's going to happen on this Thursday's Impact is make sure I don't watch it.
Okay, but moving forward the next Thursday, what's one thing?
If the thing they tape for tonight's show, they lost the tape, then maybe.
Then maybe, okay. I was going to say, like, CM Punk, would that guarantee you're going to watch? No? CM Punk wouldn't guarantee
you? He's not going to Impact? Get out of here.
I'm not saying it's possible. I'm saying completely out of their own possibility. What would get you? What would guarantee?
I might watch the clip of him debuting to see if it's worth my time.
Okay. Let's just move on. These are 10 things that Impact still needs to do to be better.
Yeah.
Number 10.
10.
Get rid of that damn owl.
Yeah. I guess my understanding is that the owl is more Anthem thing as opposed to Impact thing. Is that correct?
And Anthem owns Impact.
Yeah, but like the owl is part of Anthem's branding.
I think so. I believe so.
All right. I mean, there it's not so bad when they had that giant owl in their logo.
Yeah, and
that was no good.
Like in their opening sequence, the big thing for me was their opening sequence. Whenever you like, because it's a really well done video package, and then like this weird owl like is turning to the side and it looks directly at the camera as Eli Drake does the same thing like in the next shot, and I'm like, is Eli Drake like a new Manimal or something?
Yeah, Manimal, that'd be cool.
Would that get you to watch?
No.
If Eli Drake...
Only if they adopted the same visual effects they did in the 80s version of Manimal to show his transition from man to animal.
Hold on a second.
A series of slow dissolves.
You're telling me if Eli Drake, as a human being, reals...
Yes,
demonstrated that he could change into an animal...
No, it has to exist within kayfabe. It has to be his gimmick.
Right, but like, So if he turned into an animal, you still would...
I don't know. I'd be intrigued by it. I'd check out some clips, and if it's well done, maybe.
You check out some clips.
Like I said, they gotta use the same effects
they
used for the transformation scenes in Manimal.
Not like revolutionary CG effects?
Not interested.
No?
You get that in any Hollywood movie. Okay. I want a throwback.
All right, fair enough. Anyways, yeah. So here's the thing also about this list. I made the list, but you ordered
it. I ordered it. This is my priorities.
Okay. Number 9.
9.
More Scott Steiner. Specifically, I want to make commentary.
You'd probably have this number one if you had your druthers.
No, this was actually number one originally. This was going to be my number one. Scott Steiner commentary. He is so... especially these days, the Scott Steiner math meme thing has blown up so much. They would be, and he's back, but it's just kind of sad to watch. He's so old.
Yeah, he looks really old.
And like when he did the Frankensteiner thing at the last pay-per-view and he landed on his head, it just didn't look good. But put him on commentary with Don Callis and Josh Matthews. See how it works out, even just for a pay-per-view.
He's got a show needs to run, though.
Oh, that can run itself. He just gets his brother in there, somebody that he trusts.
His brother's doing real estate.
Get somebody he trusts to run it. He's the owner. He doesn't have to manage it.
You don't know
that's
that.
Silly.
He does manage it.
That's silly. Anyways, and they do one taping every eon.
Yeah.
Once a blue moon, you do it, so he doesn't have to be there all the time.
I don't know. Maybe that's too much of a commitment for Scott Steiner.
Probably is, and they probably don't want him on the mic. But still, I think it'd be great, and it would get people watching. Ratings would boost for at least 10,000.
Yeah.
10,000 more people watching. You Maybe. Wouldn't do that, really?
Strictly for Scott Steiner, no.
That'd be great. Number eight.
Eight.
Fine. Number eight.
Eight.
Don't try to be WWE. Now,
yeah,
they've already accomplished
this. Yeah, and I've been saying for a while that they shouldn't view their competition as WWE. Their competition right now is Ring of Honor.
Yeah, yeah.
But they actually have a national TV deal that we can, like, we don't get Ring of Honor television here.
Right, correct.
But we get Impact.
Yeah.
So they have that advantage.
That might change with Sinclair buying up a bunch of TV stations.
Yeah, no.
I think they own, like, Fox 40 out here.
No, that's interesting. They don't have a...
I know. But anyways.
If they adopt... And it seems like they have. If they've adopted that mindset that they're competing with other larger... I mean, Ring of Honor is not really independent promotion because they're owned by a giant media conglomerate.
Right.
But if their competition is that kind of mid-level wrestling promotion.
Upper mid-card wrestling promotion.
Yeah, but I think that's Ring of Honor. And who else in the States?
In the States, it's really... I mean, it's New Japan.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of their U.S. expansion.
But I think their buzz and the fact that they're the largest promotion in Japan kind of puts them at a different level.
So I would legitimately be interested to know what Access numbers are.
Yeah.
What New Japan... Well,
I thought they don't publish them. I thought I remember hearing in a newsletter a ways back that they were fairly comparable to Impact's numbers.
Yeah.
Before they had that jump in viewership.
Yeah.
You know, like 250,000.
Yeah. I have no
idea. That's what I thought I read. I could be completely wrong.
I do not know.
Anyways, if Impact views their promotion as comparable to Ring of Honor and use that as a baseline to improve product, improve viewership, improve engagement, that's a good start.
I think it's interesting to me because the main thing that I like, I think it's widely, I know Booker T was talking about this in his podcast, how then the day they decided, hey, we've got Hogan, we've got Bischoff, let's run Monday nights against Monday Night Raw, as just a terrible, terrible idea. That was them thinking, hey, we should compete against WWE. It's like, no, it's okay to be number two if you're doing really good business.
Yeah.
You know, if you're doing really, really good business and you're able to slowly get to that point, not just, hey, let's put all our chips in on Hulk Hogan Monday nights.
Yeah.
Let's do that. So hopefully they've learned from that. They've understood what their competition should be or what they could consider their competition. You know, that's what they need to continue to not try to be WWE. I think they've actually
sort of
they understand that.
No,
at
I think
point.
They do too. And also the one advantage of realizing that your competition is not WWE is you're not striving to sign the same people that are WWE's going after per se.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're not trying to match them in terms of spectacle.
Yeah.
If you view your competition as say Ring of Honor, you know, Ring of Honor, they, you know, for their pay-per-views, they put some production value into the show, and their TV taping's okay, in terms of production value, but they concentrate on the in-ring product, and that's what Impact needs to do.
Yeah,
they do have a lot of really talented wrestlers in Impact. Concentrate on the in-ring product.
Yep.
Put on stellar matches, and people will watch.
Number seven.
Seven.
Lock up talent. So last we heard, Moose is signed for 3 years as of, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 months ago or something like that, a little while ago.
Yeah.
From what I understand, they moved to, like, a appearance model, which here's the thing. This is one of my main things about Impact. It's difficult to invest emotionally into a company when
there's potential for a high degree of turnover.
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
If you don't know, somebody's going to be around for at least a couple more pay-per-view cycles, it's really difficult, especially with something like EC3, when he gets snatched up by NXT, you know he's not going to be around. Why do I now care for the next 3 months that he's on TV?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big, big problem. Moose, if he's really signed for 3 years with Impact, and I know they're moving him to the title scene, if I'm not mistaken, he's calling himself Mr. Impact. He's probably going to be there for a while. Okay, I can at least get on board that guy.
Yeah.
At least I can understand that he's going to be there for a while.
Yeah.
And they need to do that. I don't know. So if I'm not mistaken, Austin Aries fairly recently said that he's not locked in with Impact for like a long-term thing, which is fine. They have to also stay within their business model. I totally get that. However, you do need a core of talent that you know is going to be there.
Yeah.
And going to be reliable.
I mean, I think, you know, like NXT, I think it's different situation, but the situation at the same time is kind of comparable where NXT is like a minor league baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
You're generally a fan of the major league team and hopefully a fan of your hometown team.
Yeah.
But you have to understand that what you're rooting for is not the name on the back of the jersey, but the logo on the hat.
Mm-hmm.
Because that name on the back of the jersey is going to change a lot because
people
keep coming up and going down, all that kind of stuff in minor leagues. And the worry in NXT is the same way. You have to, first and foremost, I feel like, if you like NXT, it's because you like NXT's brand, you like the product, you like how they approach wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to be fans of particular wrestlers in there, and you'll follow them up to the main roster. But if you're watching NXT long term, it's because you like NXT wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing right now seems to be the case with Impact, since they're not locking up people. It seems like long term, you got to be invested in the style of wrestling they're putting on, the presentation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
until they start either feeling like they're in a strong enough financial situation when they can keep their core,
mm-hmm.
or if they say to hell with, you know, the fiscal responsibility in terms of running a wrestling promotion, let's hold on to these 5, 6, 7 wrestlers
mm-hmm.
for a couple years, use that as our foundation, see what we can build around these handful of competitors, and then sign complimentary pieces, you know, maybe based on, you know, how they're doing things now per appearance.
Yeah. Yeah. You can, I wonder if Impact might get to the point where that would become a supplementary NXT, because you do see people going from Impact these days, going from the indies, driving through Impact and then heading up to NXT. And I wonder if that's going to be more and more a farm system, sort of like an unaffiliated farm system.
Well, you're going to have WWE. You're going to have NXT. Well, you're going to have Ring of Honor and Impact feeding NXT, which will feed Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, but Ring of Honor has that Sinclair money that they can lock up guys like Cody
and the Young Bucks. You know,
and the Young Bucks, exactly, for like a while. But yeah, Impact, I mean, they need to find a way to, because Ring of Honor, they have their stable, they have their core of guys. They've got the Briscoes, they've got, you know, like you said, the Young Bucks, they've got Cody now, they've got Dalton Castle. And so they have their Ring of Honor players that have been around forever. I feel like Impact kind of needs the same thing. They need like a small core of people who are going to be there for a while.
Yeah, that you can count on being there for a while.
Right, exactly. And then, yeah, build around that. Number six.
Six.
Chris Jericho.
This is all because Don Callis said he'd leave the door open for him in some interview. Of course he'd leave the door open for Chris Jericho.
Yeah,
he's Chris Jericho.
This is probably not going to happen, but
no,
hey,
this isn't going to happen. This
come
is no
on.
Way.
Look, man.
If Chris Jericho was really a free agent, he wouldn't be calling Vince McMahon every time he made a move in New Japan.
Yeah, I know.
He more or less gets clearance from Vince to do anything in New Japan.
Well, if contractually speaking.
He doesn't have to.
Yeah.
But he does.
Yeah.
Now, if he were to call Vince and say, Vince, you know, my buddy Don Callis gave me a call and wants me to do an angle and an impact with Austin Aries.
Yeah.
You think Vince would be just cool with that?
Sure.
No.
Why not?
No.
Do you think they don't view Impact as any more of a threat than anything else these days?
I know, but they're still really hesitant to even recognize their existence.
They had an entire dinner of three, table for three.
I know,
talked
but
about
prior
it.
To that, it's been pretty much non-existent.
Prior to that,
it was,
you're so
it was
stuck in the past.
Not
sometimes.
That long ago, where Kurt Angle threw some shade at TNA. Hey, I heard TNA is hiring.
I know. And that was, I feel like that was a joke that was like 2 years too late anyways.
Yeah.
And the only shocking thing about it was that he actually said the words TNA.
Letters.
The letters TNA. And so, what were we talking about? Oh, Chris Jericho. Okay, look, dude, obviously it's not going to happen. But because of Don Callis, it's now entering the realm of possibility. And Chris Jericho seems to really like to go wherever he wants to go.
Oh, I know.
If he wants to do something, here's the thing. If he wants to do something, Vince McMahon gives his blessing, sure. If he doesn't, okay. Chris Jericho's still going to do it. You think Chris Jericho cares if he gets his blessing from him? I'm sure he cares, kind of.
Well, I think he cares in...
But he's got so much else going for him. He doesn't need
I think he cares only in so much that he likes knowing that he can return to WWE at any time in his back pocket.
Sure. But at a certain point, if somebody says, no, you can't do something, people don't like being told no, man. They don't like being told no. They really don't. So I don't know. Is it going to happen? No, it probably won't happen. But is it would it be huge if they did get him? Of course it would.
Yeah, I guess so.
Absolutely, it'd be huge.
I don't know if it'd be
would you tune in?
I don't know.
No? Oh, come on. Yeah, I think it'd be this.
I don't think that unto itself would be enough.
Impact, I'll put it this way. Impact would have to get to the point where you're watching for Chris Jericho to want to be affiliated with Impact.
Wait, say that again.
Impact would have to get to the point where they're so good that even you're watching for Chris Jericho to want to get involved.
Oh, there's yeah,
that all with Impact.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big gulf.
That's a massive leap. An enormous leap.
You know, man, I'm trying to be optimistic here. Number five.
Five.
Buzzy matches. I'm not talking about matches with like bees in them.
Well, that would be an interesting take on wrestling.
Would you watch this Thursday? Would you watch
the first ever beehive match?
Would you watch?
I mean, see, you know what got me watching Impact for a couple episodes?
What?
Final Deletion.
Oh,
total
yeah.
Total nonstop
there
deletion.
There you go. See?
It took something like that because there was buzz around it and it was interesting. It was something new.
Okay, there you go.
So if they did a beehive match, maybe.
Yeah, that'd be good. Anyways, let's talk about the match that was just up on the screen.
Yeah, see, I was excited when I heard about Pentagon getting a title shot at Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I heard about the results, I was excited.
Yeah, man.
I spoke to, like, that might be the thing to get me to watch Impact.
Yeah.
Subsequent events put a damper on those.
All came crumbling
emotions.
Down.
We will talk about that later.
Okay.
But yes, the idea that they're putting on buzzworthy matches that are captivating the attentions and the imaginations of wrestling fans, that's good. That's what they need to do if they really want to start building a larger following. Put mm-hmm. on consistently good to great matches.
Mm-hmm. If focus
on the in-ring product.
If their aim, so we've talked about all this kind of stuff. If their aim is to be the place where you can see the best independent wrestlers all in one place
mm-hmm.
that aren't locked up or anything, all the best independent wrestlers in one place, like equal parts, you know, you have PWG type matches, right, with talent that would love to go to Ring of Honor NXT, or that you will see in NXT and WWE in 5 years, with the production value of TV-wise, WWE, it's on par with what WWE does production-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good goal to have.
I was just about to say, if they can, granted, very few promotions can put forth the quality of cards that PWG can.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
If they aim to do something on even 75% of mm-hmm. your typical PWG show,
yeah.
but make it available for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a pretty good goal.
And I think it's an attainable one.
Yeah,
too.
I think
it's an attainable one. Number four.
Four.
Fewer TV tapings.
This is a must because there's been numerous times where they've done a taping, shot 2 months worth of television, something happens and they have to like scramble to cover up the fact that,
yeah,
well, this person got fired, this person left.
Yeah. Like Alberto got suspended.
We're not affiliated with Global Force Wrestling anymore.
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
That was a mess. I really hope they learned their lesson with that. But yeah, don't rebrand by Jeff Jarrett's word. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. This was kind of the thing, and I know I understand production-wise, budget-wise, it's probably the most difficult thing to do. From what I read, though, I thought I read a thing that said they're going to try to do less TV episodes per taping and have more frequent tapings or just like shoot more at the local shows. But yeah, when Alberto Del Rio gets suspended and you've only aired the first episode of 8 episodes out of one TV taping, that's a pretty big problem. And so you need to bring that down. Mm-hmm. The NXT way of doing things, where I think you're doing like four episodes of TV.
Yeah, you're doing about a month at a time.
About a month at a time is much.
It seems more manageable from a creative standpoint. And if anything were to happen in the intervening weeks, you don't have seven, six or so weeks
mm-hmm.
that you got to try to cover your bases.
Right. Yeah.
So it lines up with what's actually happening.
If something real, like if. So Alberto, what happened with him and Paige was, I think, that airport spat, right? If there was a different wrestler who did something even more egregious, like much more egregious, something where you do not want this person on TV, and he's the focal point of your main event, that is a massive problem.
Yeah, it's a huge problem.
If you filmed that much TV in advance.
Yep.
So yeah, just probably that's probably a good idea. Fewer TV tapings.
Yeah.
Number three.
Three.
New Japan Talent Exchange kind of crosses with Chris Jericho a little bit. I'm more pessimistic about this happening than you are. Even at the lowest levels, I mean, we saw Ishimori just went over to New Japan after spending some time.
And I read something about John Morrison sending out feelers to New Japan about doing some work for them.
But even
so
if
maybe,
get,
maybe the A is going to be an informal partnership, and B is going to be a one way partnership. Impact
right.
talent going to
we
New
need,
Japan.
We need some coming back the other way. Even
by informal, I mean non-existent.
Even if it's...
It's literally Impact wrestlers leaving due to New Japan.
I know. Even if it's like, you know, Chaos has what, like 8,000 people in their stable?
Yeah, Yoshihashi and Kamari Impact.
Yoshihashi making an appearance on Impact. Even... No, that's not going to... He doesn't move any numbers. One guy, and there's a lot of guys in New Japan, send Sonata and Evil over for a match. For one match. For one thing, that's going to generate some buzz. And it doesn't affect New Japan, and it does the world of good for Impact. And then Impact sends over Eli Drake and Scott Steiner.
Wow. Impact really wins that deal.
They really do. So, I don't know. Can it happen with Don Callis? I was like, wow, that actually could open the door in a semi-realistic manner, especially if they're Scott DeMore. We saw them both. We saw Don Callis and Scott DeMore at that Long Beach show milling about in an area where people with just regular tickets don't mill about. And so if they are there still apologizing for the sins of the past, still trying to get across, this is what we did, still trying to get across, hey, we've got some good talent that you could use on a show or two. If it benefits you, that could do a wonder. I think it's within the realm of possibility.
No, yeah, I would put about like a 5% chance, maybe 10, given how the previous working relationship between New Japan and TNA went down.
Yeah.
I'm still of the opinion that Impact, like, I don't really see what New Japan really has to gain from a talent exchange.
Yeah.
Because it's the more buzzworthy product. They have the talent with the greater name recognition.
Here's why, because you never ever take for granted the reach that another promotion has. The fact that Impact is doing between 250 and 300,000.
Well, that's why I think the access stuff, Japan's access stuff, was doing. That's what I read.
Right. But you can't think for a second that it's the exact same people.
Well, it's not the exact same people.
I mean, there's got to be some amount of people who are watching Impact who aren't really aware of the New Japan product because the reach is different.
Yeah, maybe.
I think there probably is. I mean, it's probably...
Well, I don't think
it just makes sense.
I don't think it's like half of Impact's audience is the case.
No,
it
I don't think
like
half.
It might be like 10%. I think it's a pretty low percentage.
Well, I think... I don't know.
If you're watching Impact Wrestling, odds are you're going to be aware of what New Japan is doing.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Unless there's just some a group of Impact loyalists who watch Impact and nothing but Impact.
There are some Impact loyalists out there. But you're probably right. It's probably a smaller amount. However, I don't know. I think if New Japan looks at who Impact has, they've got some decent names over there. I think you could find anything. I don't know. I think it'd be silly to just say, no, we're not going to work with you because technically you're still the same company that, you know, jacked us all those years ago. Even though you've got new ownership, you've got completely different people at the top of the car at the helm of the company.
Yeah.
It would be kind of odd for them to say, we're not going to investigate a relationship with you.
Well, I don't think the previous relationship would prevent them from having discussions. I just think at the end of the day, New Japan might really take them in and say, what's really in it for us? What can we really gain from this that we can't more or less do on our own?
Yeah.
And given there's this amount of buzz behind you, the company already.
You might be right, but the fact that they're not selling out at Long Beach, they're not as infallible.
You mean in San Francisco,
as,
yeah.
I'm sorry, in San Francisco. They're not as infallible as they think they
oh,
are.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, you know.
Well, they're already selling, they've already sold 10 times more tickets than an Impact show would in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, probably even more that, more than that. However, they're not sold out, and yeah. they probably thought they were going to be.
Oh, maybe.
So, you know, they're not infallible. They could probably still use. They're gonna do everything they can at their disposal to make this U.S. expansion work. And that would have to include building relationships with a bunch of other companies.
Oh, I'm sure it would.
So, number two.
Two.
Push new talent.
Yes, 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 yes. And this goes partially to my primary beef. This is actually kind of 1B to 1A.
This is Sue Young.
Sue Young, yeah.
She's doing really good work right now.
Yeah. For far too long, and we've talked about it, in the previous episode as well as this one, Impact has focused on kind of people that used to be in WWE or mm-hmm. WCW mm-hmm. as top of the card talent.
Mm-hmm.
And even with when Austin Aries dropped the belt to Pentagon, we heard no, originally supposed to be Alberto Del Rio. Same idea.
Yeah.
They have in their mind that these wrestlers who were in WWE reached a level of success in WWE could come to Impact and carry the brand essentially. And then when I heard Pentagon won the belt, I was really excited. I was like, oh, wow, they're actually getting behind not necessarily a new talent, but new to Impact.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But a guy who has developed a pretty significant following wrestling at Lucha Underground as well as the Indies.
Mm-hmm.
He's great, ton of charisma, awesome character, fantastic in the ring. He's the type of talent you can build a company around.
Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, here, they get it finally. Here's a younger guy they can build the company around, put the belt on him. Haven't put on a bunch of incredible matches.
Yeah, but that was just a talent exchange thing. You didn't think they were actually going to build a company around him.
No, not build a company around per se, but yeah. just the idea that, okay, they get it finally. We're not, I mean, granted, Austin Aries is great and he has a ton of history and Impact, but at the same time, it's kind of like, okay, well, he's here. We'll go back to how things were in 2014 or whatever, you know, instead of looking forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the idea. It seemed like with putting the belt on Pentagon, oh, we're finally looking forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, based on what's going to happen, I think, on Thursday, doesn't seem to be the case.
That, to me, feels like a small sample size, although I totally take your point. What they do with that going forward is going to be kind of a bigger question for me. I know Moose had a challenge for mm-hmm. Pentagon while he was still the champion.
Mm-hmm.
Eli Drake, I think, was also trying to get in that mix.
Well, he's a former champion already, yeah.
He's a former champion, but he's trying to get back in that mix. I'm not sure exactly where he is. He might be fighting Scott Steiner. I have no idea. and so I agree with you. You should definitely be pushing your new talent. My bigger concern with that entire thing was the idea that they ever had the prospect of putting that title back on Alberto Del Rio. The current regime had that idea. That to me causes pause.
Mm-hmm.
That to me says, mm-hmm. okay, you guys, you still need to figure some stuff out because
yep.
that would have been a bad idea.
Yep.
So that was not good. But they have done a decent job pushing some new talent. They pushed OVE pretty hardcore.
They put a pretty significant spotlight on the Sami Callihan, Eddie Edwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've done a much better.
Trevor Lee has had a pretty big push.
Yeah, yeah. They've done a much better job of it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you hear again about them wanting to put the title on Alberto, again, it gives you pause.
It's like kinda
weird. you have all this great young talent.
Mm-hmm.
People are gonna if they're putting on stellar matches week in and week out, people are gonna tune in for that.
One thing I do need to point out too, and I forget where this would have really it could go here, I guess. But I probably could have put this on the other list. This so stands out to me, especially right now. The Bobby Lashley thing, his last run in Impact, was so well done compared to the crap that the WWE is giving him. And if they can just continue along that line of let's develop characters, let's actually develop the characters
mm-hmm.
in storylines that are grounded and not cartoonish, I think that's something they really need to focus on too.
Yeah.
So. But the number one.
One.
You just mentioned this basically.
You
felt like Penta holding the title was a rating stunt basically.
Yeah, to get nerds like me interested.
Well, they fooled you.
They did.
And then they swerved you.
They did.
You don't think it's too early?
What?
To find to determine whether or not it's a true swerve?
Well, I mean, this goes into a larger pattern of behavior from Impact that's been going on for a while.
Yeah.
They'll just do random crap. to say, oh, we could do this to pop ratings, and they do it, and then they do something else, and it's just an obvious ploy to try to get people to watch the show because they pull some stunts.
Yeah.
And this, the Pentagon title win and subsequent loss, this feels like the latest in a long lines of attempts to pop ratings.
Yeah, but okay, hold on a second. When was I see your point, and I half agree with you. But on the other hand, it is wrestling. Title changes do happen.
Yeah, title changes do happen.
If Pentagon, let me ask you something. If Pentagon then gets into like a 3-month feud with, I don't know, Moose or Eli Drake or something.
Yeah.
And they have some like really good matches.
Yeah.
And storyline, it makes sense.
That's different.
That's different.
But yeah. but for him to win the title, and I think the very next set of TV tapings.
Which TV in TV land, I understand it is, doesn't happen like, yeah, until 2 months later.
But at the same time, at the very next set of TV tapings, like, has Pentagon even had a title defense?
Oh, shit. I don't know.
So
I haven't watched.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So, like, but even though, yeah, I understand that it's you know, there's time, a delay between when he won the title of Redemption and whenever, I guess it's Thursday. It's past Thursday when he loses the title, Austin Aries. And if not, sorry. Spoiler alert. Yeah, there's a number of weeks in between. When you hear he won, cool. Then you hear a week later, yeah, he lost the belt. He's going to be dropping it at a further TV episode. You're like, all right, well, what the hell?
How long did Austin have that title in the first place?
Oh, I don't know.
It was like 3 months.
Yeah.
Same thing. 2 months, 3 months, same thing.
Well, Pentagon won it. It was after Mania weekend. So it's been about a month and a half.
Yeah, month and a half. There's been shorter WWE title reigns.
I'm aware of that.
What if he gets it back? What if he gets it back at like the next pay-per-view?
Well, then I'll reevaluate, I guess. It just felt like, to me, it felt a bit like a bit of a stunt.
Yeah. No, I feel you. I feel. New guy comes in. He's really hot. Just toss the title on him.
To generate some short-term interest and help people stick around. Then you
and
realize.
Then get the status quo back. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's wrestling. Nothing's perfect. But no, I see your point. And popping ratings is the last thing they want to be doing.
No, they want to actually be developing talent, putting on great matches, and trying to do things that they can sustain long-term to generate fan interest and bring viewers in.
Yep.
Because you get people like me who already have a bad taste in their mouth based on Impact, what they've done in the past, and they put the belt on someone they really like. I really like Pentagon.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, cool.
But if
maybe
you really
I'll start
like,
watching.
If you really like Pentagon and he's on Impact, wouldn't you want to watch anyways?
Not if it's a short. Not if I know that he's gonna be champion for not very long and it's a short term thing. I'll just
but
watch.
What if he's
just,
what if he's get what if he has?
I'll
like
watch Lucha Underground.
Yeah. Okay.
Because he's on there all the time.
Fair enough. Anyways, I hope they get to the point. See, I don't even know if I'm going to be watching. But
if I
just want to get you
to
the
point. Convince you not to watch.
I know. I just want to get you to the point. I care more about getting you to watch than me watching. But anyways, I might bring back my reviews. Maybe not. Anyways, that's it for the show. Thanks so much. Be sure to watch the other video where we share 10 things they are doing right.
Yeah.
Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.